Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Play to Win podcast. We've got a special episode for you today. We've been promising it for a while, something nobody has asked for. We're revealing our game of the year and our 2022 stats from last year. With me today, we've got Jared.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
And Josh.
How's it going?
So we got a full Game Guru crew as we review the best games we played last year. And when I say our game of the year is going to be a little bit different than the game of the year that y'all might have seen in other outlets, because we're only talking about the ones we've covered in this show.
And we're going to do it while wearing cowboy hats.
And nothing else. You have to pay the, you have to go to the Patreon to get that one.
That's the OnlyFans page, actually.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I mixed them up. My bad. Well, with so what I will do is we'll go ahead and get started with a few things, topics of news that we're going to do. So, of course, everybody likes to review the game of 2022, the best game of 2022 in what, April, mid-April of 2023. So,
yeah.
So we got some good news to talk about. The first thing I want to talk about is the final Tears of the Kingdom trailer was just released. Josh, how hyped are you for this game?
I'm growing more hyped for it as it gets closer to release date. I feel like there's been such a, the original Breath of the Wild came out, was it 6 years ago?
Yeah,
maybe maybe 6 years ago. Yeah. So, you know, it's quite a long development cycle, obviously. You know, 2020 and the COVID pandemic didn't necessarily help that, but I feel like it looks like they've put a lot of detail into the game and they've added more just more ways to play the game, really, you know, in a game where the physics engine and, you know, the tools with the Sheikah Slate, you know, it seemed like, wow, I can do really almost unimaginable things with this, like, skill set within the game, right? And now they've added even more stuff to that with, like, vehicle creation and things like that. So the concept of moving up and down through the sky. So, I think it looks like it could be a pretty pretty memorable experience.
I think it's going to be epic. I will say I'm not fully sold on the new stick it together mechanic that they're working
on. Yeah, it's like Nintendo Labo into like a Zelda game almost, you know, if you think about it. But as long as it doesn't get like wacky, ridiculous kind of fun stuff, and even then it might even be funny just to see that and be able to do that in a game. But I don't know. It depends on how, you know, I mean, in Breath of the Wild, they didn't force any one way to play on the player. You know, they left it open to however you wanted to complete puzzles and things like that. So,
which that's awesome.
I would imagine that, you know, it's not going to become a requirement other than maybe a couple times to do stuff like that. But it's just going to, it's going to be more of a convenience factor, I think.
I think that'll be important. For me, at least, because I don't know. I just, the idea, it's kind of cool to see Link with a giant mech, you know, or a self-designed car that he's driving through Hyrule. And
a Batmobile.
I that's not what I want for my Zelda fantasy games. I don't know. I'm not turned off by it, but I'm hesitant by it. But everything else about the game looks fantastic, in my opinion. The graphics look amazing. The world looks like it's going to be gloriously huge. The idea behind the story looks really cool. We got Ganondorf back, so I'm stoked.
Yeah, I would agree. Jared, are you gonna get a Switch to play this?
Negativo.
I have a spare you can borrow.
Well, maybe at some point, but I have other priorities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zelda fell off my radar a long time ago, unfortunately. Well, Nintendo did. Day.
Ironically, though, you know, as a family man, you would think it would be a nice console for you.
Yeah, she just never shown any interest in one. So, I'm not gonna... I think she likes her Roblox on her iPad.
That works out well. Well, we didn't have that iPads in our day, so that made Nintendo...
And then we're past the point where an iPad would be appealing, I feel.
Yeah.
I know. My wife gets more use out of her iPad than any other device we have in our house.
Yeah.
So the other big news, at least in my opinion, was the State of Play, the PlayStation State of Play last week for Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, gentlemen?
I'm in love.
Again, I think it looks really cool. I can't really speak much to Final Fantasy in general, and it's not super on my radar still, so I catch what I do when it comes into my YouTube algorithm, but other than that, I mean, I'll take a closer look out for it now. Actually, I can probably play some stuff in the background while we chat with no sound on.
So, I think the big thing I'm noticing from this State of Play, though, is just how much broad appeal Square Enix is trying to get from this game.
Yeah.
And how people of all walks and gaming backgrounds have been, you know, been like, oh, wow, that looks really good. Because the game looks beautiful.
Like, with a few adjustments, they can easily get people like me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what this game is shooting for. It's looking for the people like Jared. They know they've got the people like Josh and I.
Right.
And so they're trying to pull the Jareds of the world. So they have the Devil May Cry combat coordinator designing the combat. They've gone to a much dark, more gritty game style. They've kind of they've cut back on a lot of the more traditional, goofy Japanese RPG motifs, which I personally love, but they kind of have that's made it a little bit more difficult, I think, for some Western audiences to get in. They're really trying to pull the Western audience, I think, in this one, while still appealing to the core fan base of Final Fantasy.
And you have to keep the core fans, like
To. Well, and you know, that's like, you know, I mean, a lot of people, from what I've read on the internet so far, and it's just, you know, Joe Schmoes out there commenting on stuff. But I think that's valuable because it tells you what, you know, the actual gamer might feel as opposed to, you know, a reviewer or a information outlet. But, you know, it seems like the one thing that people have expressed concern the most about online about this game would be the story. Because and it's not uncommon for Final Fantasy to not tell you the entire plot of the game in the trailers and everything, but
I would
we know that Square Enix, if they do anything extremely well, other than the actual mechanics of the games they create, it's creating stories, you know.
Yeah.
The stories are usually top-notch in a Square Enix, particularly a Final Fantasy game. So I'm not concerned about that really one bit. That's why I think this is going to be I think this game is going to be competing for Game of the Year, to be quite honest.
And I want to make clear, too, like my little stunt into Final Fantasy 15, I didn't think it was a bad game. But the problem is, and this is such a fine line that all these studios have to walk, is I think I just didn't really like the controller scheme in there.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to take the time to remap it when there's so many other games out there. And, you know, and so you have to keep your game somewhat generalized, but at the same time can't lose appeal for folks like you, too. It's a crazy science, and it's kind of overwhelming to think about what they have to do with games. And so I really hope that it doesn't lose that little Final Fantasy sparkle for you guys in this new one. I hope they don't sacrifice too much. You
know, an important kind of an interesting thing about that too, Jared, is obviously this is the 16th ish entry.
Right.
There's more than 16 entries, but they have reinvented themselves. Square Enix has reinvented the game every time, just about. Like, every time they've made a completely new battle system, a completely new story.
Pretty much.
They use a completely new engine. They pretty much reinvent the game every single time. Even some of the direct sequels, like Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2, have completely different battle engines.
Yeah, I mean, like three and four might be the closest of like mainline Final Fantasy entries that would have about the same battle system. But I don't even know if that's true.
I think 3 and 4's battle systems are pretty different.
But with the job selection and whatnot, I think
four
it's...
4 doesn't have the job selection.
I'm thinking of five. Sorry. Five. Yeah, 3 and 5. Sorry. Yeah.
And honestly, 4 and 5 look and play the most alike. But
yeah.
So I don't know. I'm excited for it. That comes out in June? So we've got some time. They've shown a lot of it. I think they're really trying to push it. They're really putting a lot into this game. It looks beautiful. It sounds gorgeous thus far. We just need to see if they can land the plane.
It's on all platforms, or is it just PlayStation?
Just PlayStation.
Well, my jump in will be a little more delayed.
Yeah. Yep. So that brings us to the last bit of news I want to touch on today, and that is Jedi Fallen Order comes out Jedi Fallen Order sequel, Jedi Survivor, comes out at the end of the month. Jared, I know you're picking this up day one. Josh, are you planning on picking it up?
Not day one. So is this going to be on Game Pass?
No.
Probably not. Definitely not initially. It's
not immediately.
EA game.
Yeah, will it be on the EA Play?
It wouldn't be an EA Play. This is something that they might give you a discount on.
Okay, I was just thinking like in the near, like within the next 6 months, probably. No. Okay.
At least a year and a half.
I'll probably be occupied for at least the next 6 months. I've got like kind of my schedule planned out on that regard.
Did you play the first one?
That's kind of where I am too.
I have not played the first one, but I think it's on. Isn't it on Game Pass?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I think so.
EA.
So I can EA Play via Game Pass though.
You can get through Game Pass.
Yeah.
Jared, I know you're looking forward to this.
Oh yeah. No, I obviously am one of the biggest Star Wars nerds ever, and. Gonna go through. I just started yesterday my new Star Wars watch through, and so this game will kind of fit into the fabric of that. But I really love the exploration of this time period, as well as what the Mandalorian's doing between the fall of the Empire and the rise of the First Order. And I think there's just so many really cool stories, and I'm really excited to see where Cal ends up, like, because there's still so many questions surrounding him.
Well, we don't know where he is.
No literature. There's been no
alive during. Yeah. You know,
there's no like, Star Wars literature on that at all.
I'm sure there is. I'm not that.
Okay.
I have a pod or a book that links the two games. So it's like a 10-hour listen.
Okay.
Between the two video games and where he's been, but as far as what he did through the Galactic Civil War. If he survived that, okay, then what is he doing post-Empire? And if he survived that, what is he doing during the First Order? Because, I mean, he wouldn't be that old.
Yeah. Well, I think he's a completely new design, new character created by Respawn.
Yeah. I hope they make a movie about him or put him in the live action or even animation.
They modeled him exactly off of his voice actor. So
they're gonna have to retcon a lot of Star Wars canon to inject him. Maybe
they won't need to.
They wouldn't think so.
Nah, he's just not talked about.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not involved with the Luke side.
You could argue that the Empire like scrubbed all record of it. So this is like
You got to think of the Jedi Temple and all that as like Harvard. You don't know everybody at Harvard. Yeah. And then they killed, 99% of the people. And so there's so many people that you were aware of but never necessarily knew. So they can do a lot with it. They can fill in a lot of cool stuff just like they're doing with the games.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm excited because Jedi Fallen Order, I think, is the best Star Wars story of the last decade.
I would agree. You mean video game wise?
I think in general, I think it's better than any of the movies that have come out. And I'm not downplaying the movies. I just think this game, the story was really good in the game.
I'm really partial to Rogue One and Andor.
Yeah, Rogue One and Andor would be up there, either above it or right there with it. But I think it's better than any of the movies. I think it's better than 90% of the shows.
I like it because it's a grounded Jedi story. Like, Cal is just, he's not Anakin, he's not Yoda, he's not Obi-Wan, he's not this super overpowered dude. He's just a
regular Jedi.
And he's not even, he's getting more, like, he has dark side-y friends from Dathomir now. And he has a bit of a temper on him, too. I think he's a very compelling character, for sure.
Well, we'll get to see more about that. We'll check in with you in about a couple weeks when you've had some time to play it. So
yeah, I'll give you a non-spoilery overview.
All right, well, let's talk about some other things going on in the movie or the video game sphere. And that
sphere.
That's the Super Mario Brothers movie. I think all three of us have seen it. What are the group's thoughts? Jared, we'll swing to you first.
It was it was very well done. I thought the voice acting in it was very good. Very nostalgic, a lot of moments in there that made me feel like a kid again playing like Mario Kart 64 and Mario 64 and all those, and even like the old school games back on the Game Boys and NESs and stuff. It was, I was talking to you about this before the we started this, Alex. There's just so many possibilities for this world that they can do, and hopefully they don't, you know, wear out their welcome with these characters. But I think that, you know, over the next decade or so, they can probably make a lot of these, and they'll each be fun, fairly easy to make, I think. So,
well, and they've got a lot of room to grow. I think kind of what you're touching on there is they could do more Mario. They could do a Luigi's Mansion movie. They could do a Waluigi Wario kind of mashup.
They just could kind do Donkey of Kong, Yoshi.
They could do a
but I mean, they could do a Smash Brothers movie and pull in like Link and all that. Like, there's so much stuff they could
do. There's a lot of stuff there. And I guess I didn't say this at the top, but let's be mindful of spoilers for folks to listen to this. Nothing, we haven't said anything spoilery yet, but just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I love the movie as well. I thought, you know, I kind of was thinking about this because I took my wife to see it, and she just thought it was okay. But she doesn't have the Mario history like we do. And my thoughts are, this movie is a really good movie for those who are children and have nostalgia for Mario, but it's just an okay movie otherwise. Like, the video presentation, like the artistic rendering, the art style is gorgeous. It is beautiful. Illumination did a great job. Like, they picked the right animators for this.
Yeah.
The audio, the score was also fantastic, like out of this world.
I have to point out something that's typically mundane, but Nicole pointed it out in the theater, is the water physics when they were
fantastic.
Really beautiful. Like, not Way of the Water, but it was
great.
Yeah.
The movie has just, it drops an Easter egg like every 30 seconds. Probably more than that, honestly, but there's like a different Easter egg all the time. And honestly, I would love to, we could do a spoiler cast just talking about the Easter eggs and like how that
in terms of fan service, it'll make you feel like a dirty whore.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
In the best way possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the best way possible. My only real complaint, and Josh, I think you shared this too, is the story's a little thin.
Yeah.
It kind of jumped plot points to plot points really quickly. And
the action pieces were very drawn out.
Yeah, and it's absolutely.
It was literally a bunch of set pieces, and then I think they came up with the story to get you from set piece to set piece.
That's kind of what it feels like. Is the story's there just in service of
But that's also
want to show you all the cool things we're doing with this.
But that's why they could make a million of these. And
I think they can get away with that. I think they get away with that because it's like, I guess you'd call that video gamey, and it's a movie about a video game. So I guess that kind of like when you're talking about set piece to set piece, like it's kind of video
gamey. But you're going to see that. Like I don't care about some weird Mario plot. I mean, or super intricate story. That would be odd.
And that's a big point too, is let's talk about the story of Mario. There's not really a lot of story with Mario in general. No. It's just set up to get you through these really cool worlds and the gameplay, right? Hey, oh no, our princess has been taken. Okay, let's go get her. Why has she been taken? What's going on? Why is there a giant turtle with spiked backs as the villain?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Getting to the villain, what were your guys' thoughts of the singing Bowser stuff that was very prevalent?
I loved it, honestly. You did? I was in tears. I thought it was so funny. The song he sings is great. I learned that it's eligible for an Oscar. I know it's not gonna win, but I would die if that did win. Personally, I loved it. I could see how other people didn't like it, but honestly, Bowser is a goofy character. Like, he's always a goofy character, and I thought that was great.
To this movie's credit, at least in my opinion, Seth Rogen and Jack Black have larger-than-life characters for the most part, and I felt like they both kept it on the rails. Like, Seth Rogen, for sure, you can hear his laugh and kind of hear him come through, but he was never overtly Seth Rogen-y. And Jack Black, it got in your face a couple times, but he kept it very on the rails for himself. And so I thought that they did it well. And again, like you said, Alex, in the games, there's no real story with these people anyway. So they're just kind of interweaving some exposition in here.
Why did DK steal the princess and start throwing barrels at Mario? Why does Mario just keep jumping over them instead of just taking another approach? Who knows?
Right. So,
right? I thought the voice acting was actually pretty good. I know a lot of people were not high on Chris Pratt at the beginning, but honestly, I thought his voice was fantastic.
Charlie Day is always great.
Charlie Day was my hero in this movie. I want just more Luigi Charlie Day. Give me a full Luigi Luigi's Mansion movie with Charlie Day, and that would be just
awesome. I was thinking about that when he was in the dark area, and then
oh my god, that would be so cool.
That was like so Luigi's Mansion, which I could just really see that being turning out really well.
And I understand.
I think they will do it.
As a Toad, you have to have like kind of a higher voice, but I wish they would have done something more true to Keegan-Michael Key's actual voice, because a lot of it got lost in that synth, and that's the only criticism that I have of it. Because
that is his voice, though. That's no modulation on
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Never mind. Good job, Keegan-Michael
Key. That's just him being really good at doing the
Toad voice. I literally thought they synthed his voice.
That was a really good character.
I agree.
Never mind.
Retract what I just said. Yeah. That was actually amazing then.
And just slight spoiler territory, so I'll put that out there for anyone listening. Anya Taylor-Joy, I believe is her name. Peach.
Mm.
Badass.
The way you phrased that was very just never mind.
Peach. Oh.
Get your head out of the gutter. Her character was fantastic.
I like how
she
you said that. Job. It was like badass.
Badass.
Gentlemen,
no, it just was nice that they kind of turned. The one thing they really did do is they really turned the Mario trope of her just being a damsel in distress and Mario being the savior on its head. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was a lot of fun.
So go see it, folks. Take your kids, especially. It's an easy excuse to entertain everybody.
Yeah, for like go out for 2 hours, you know.
And it's the perfectly length of a movie. It's an hour and 30 minutes.
It's great for a kid's movie. 90 minutes. I mean, it was great. let's jump into our last year's stats. So we're going to talk about this wonderful thing called True Achievements that you can connect with for your Xbox. And I think you can connect it with like Steam and whatnot too. I don't think any of us really do a whole lot of Steam. I haven't since in a while, at least. But Josh, it tracks your
Steam before this podcast.
It tracks your gameplay stats over the year, and I think that's fantastic. So we're going to take a look at our year in review, get some good stats there. We were going to do our Sony stats and our Nintendo stats. Unfortunately, we won't have firm stats for that, as we waited too long and those are gone. User error, not anything Sony or Nintendo did, although I do wish they would make those something I could access at any point in time. It'd be kind of cool to go back and look what games was I playing in 2005 on my PlayStation. But we'll probably talk about those.
It's a good question.
And we can see what games we spent the most time with last year.
I definitely spent most of my time on PlayStation.
Yeah.
And Nintendo Switch. So yeah. I can probably speak to.
Well, why don't we start with your since you spent more time on those other systems, why don't we start with your true achievement, Josh? You can tell us what do you have there? What was your stats? What was your top game from last year?
Probably I don't have like a true achievement app or anything open, but I know I spent I think close to 200 hours, maybe not quite that much, maybe about 150 hours playing Elden Ring.
Oh, yeah. And that was on PlayStation, right?
Yeah, PlayStation 5, yeah. And that was, it's a good first quarter of the year. That, and then I spent, I want to say,
Horizon, right?
About 80 hours on Horizon, Forbidden West. It's a good game. And then let's see, PlayStation. What else did I play on PlayStation? You know, mainly I think it was those two games. They were obviously big games.
Yeah, yeah.
I played a little bit of Call of Duty and Stranger in Paradise.
Uh huh.
Final Fantasy Origin, Stranger in Paradise. And then I think that's most of the PlayStation 5. I'm trying
What's your Nintendo look like? Nintendo stats look like, if you recall.
Yeah, I played a lot of... So in like January, February, March time, I played a lot of Kingdom Hearts. Let's see, I played 220 hours on the 1.5, 2.5 remix cloud version. Uh-huh. And obviously that's what six games, something like that. So keep that in mind. So it's something like, I don't know if it's quite six games, but then there's 55 playing Kingdom Hearts 3 in Remind. Plus I think that's got the... No, that's not 2.8. I think I played 2.8 possibly too. And that was, 2.8. That was 15 hours playing that. So I spent almost 300 hours playing Kingdom Hearts games. Damn. Yeah. It's a lot of time. Yeah, that's a lot of time. Jeez, that's kind of it makes you sit and think about your life.
A life well spent.
I played 140 total hours playing the original and second Xenoblade Chronicles games, and then 140
together. Damn.
But I put the 140 in Xbox Chronicles 3. Or Xbox Chronicles, Xenoblade Chronicles.
They should make an Xbox Chronicles game, but they should start with 3. They shouldn't
Xbox
go
Xbox Chronicles.
They should just start with 3.
Welcome back to the Xbox Chronicles.
Here we go.
What
was your number one? Oh, go ahead.
I said, and then wait, hold on. Yeah, that would have been. That was 2022. Sorry, I got some other stuff in here. Pokemon Violet, 60 hours on that. Bravely Default 2, I played 80 hours. It's a lot of. Yeah, I put. Yeah, and it was mostly Switch that I played this year, obviously, as you can tell.
What do you think you played the most of on Xbox?
To be quite honest, I think what I played the most of on Xbox in 2022 was the show.
Okay.
Was it 22 or 23? What it had been? I can't remember.
22, I think.
22, yeah. I probably spent a solid like 3 weeks doing like a career thing on that, getting to the majors, and then after playing a few games in the majors, I was like, well, okay, I'm kind of bored with this now. So
it's a little bit ironic that the game you spent the most time on Xbox was a PlayStation game.
I mean, we played TMNT. Minecraft Dungeons.
Well, and a lot of
I'm talking about we played them together.
We played that I forgot what it was called, Jared. What was that one, the game that was post-apocalyptic, like the robots were taking over?
Generation Zero.
Yeah, we played Generation Zero for several hours in a row.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jared, what's your year in review look like?
Okay. I played a total of 26 games in 22.
Cool.
I would say that like my biggest pleasant surprises were As Dusk Falls. Really loved that game. It was just one of those story-driven games. It was only 6 hours. Very laid back, but really compelling story. I really enjoyed the time that we were in Shredder's Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really fun game, and I think we went through that a few times with a few different characters.
Yeah, we did. I kind of want to do it again already.
Yeah, I would hop in.
It was a fun game.
Ace Combat, I did a lot of flight simulator stuff. I don't know if you guys are into those stories or not or have ever played them, but if you want fast action and really cool airplanes and stuff like that, I'm a nerd like that. Ace Combat 7 is wonderful. Can't wait till they release a new one. And they're just beautiful games. Absolutely beautiful games. Far Cry 6. Love me some Far Cry. My favorite, I think, is Far Cry 5. But Far Cry 6, fun story. Very nice setting down in this place called Yara. So I think how much time did almost I played video games a lot last year. Like 120 hours in that one. Stanley Parable, obviously Cyberpunk. I'm not gonna tell you how much time I've spent in this game, but
it dwarf everything else.
And any numbers you guys have thrown out, I've just been like, but I absolutely adore Cyberpunk. Odyssey. So Assassin's Creed, I actually hit that under the typical finish time. I didn't hit 100 hours in this one, but. Still, I was still thinking like 97 hours is too much. I did the show a lot too. Sniper Elite. So yeah, I mean, a lot of big open world shooters kind of games. Mm-hmm. Deathloop, obviously. So yeah.
You primarily played on Xbox. Well, you almost Witcher. Exclusively played on Xbox, right?
Yeah, that's all I played on.
So that's pretty accurate foretelling of your.
Yeah, and I guess it. I spread my. You guys spread your time out amongst different consoles, and I really don't do that.
So. Yeah. Well, to jump into mine, I'll go since I don't have my PlayStation or my Nintendo numbers. I'll just talk about those real quick. I know I spent a lot of time in Ratchet and Clank, for PlayStation. But I think I spent the most time in Horizon Zero Dawn, because that was the first time I had played that, was last
that
year.
That game's so amazing. I can't wait to get a PlayStation just so I can hop back into those.
I think those were probably my big time dumps on PlayStation. I played other stuff, but those two I think I spent the most time in. Ratchet and Clank was fantastic. I thought that game was I liked Horizon Zero Dawn. I liked Ratchet and Clank more.
Yeah.
And Rift Apart is the one I'm referring to. I thought that game was fantastic. It's a completely different experience, and I like those kind of games, those kind of more action adventure platformer, kind of mostly going down tunnels. You know, it's very, very linear, but it has some open areas. I thought that game was fantastic. It was a game that was – it was like a Disney Imagineer built this game. That's kind of what it felt like at times. It was
I can
so
see
well
that.
Put together. On Nintendo, I got to think about what I played on Nintendo last year. I know I went back through Link's Awakening again, so the remake. So I spent a lot of time on that one. I also spent a lot of time last year replaying a lot of classic games, because I remember I finished like Mario 1, 2, and 3 again on that. So I spent a lot of time in the NES and Super NES.
What's the typical playthrough time on those old games? Because I have no gauge for it in my own head.
A few hours, probably.
Really?
It can be as short as 30 minutes sometimes. Yeah. So
interesting.
Because especially with modern technology and save states and rewind and fast forward. Like, if you're not... Those games are designed to kill you.
Yeah.
But you learn every time you die. So if you know what you're doing, you've got some skill in them, and you got a little bit of help with some things, yeah, it can take 30 minutes. Like, I just went through...
Well, you're talking about clocking, like, game time. I was talking more, like, you know, actual time spent playing it. Like,
no, I'm talking that, too, if you have, like, save states. Or if you know what you're doing in the game. So, like, I just finished a game I had never beaten as a kid. Was Super Mario Land 2, the 6 golden stars, or 6 golden coins game on Game Boy. I have gotten every single coin in that game before, but I don't think there's at least I don't remember if there's a way to actually save the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to finish the game in one playthrough, which I couldn't do as a kid because I'd have like a 30 minutes here, an hour there to go through. And so I'd get one coin, have to start over. I'd get a different coin, have to start over. And so now I've gotten two different coins, but they didn't count. But this playthrough, I just saved. I was able to use save states. And so it probably took me like an hour and a half, maybe at most, to get through. And the original Mario game is not a very long game, but it's not meant to just kind of mainline straight through.
Right.
You know, you're meant to die.
Yeah.
And have to use continues, and so if you don't have to do that...
Are you saying that it's like Dark Souls?
A little bit. It's the original Dark Souls. So it varies. Yeah, a couple hours is probably a pretty good estimate for most games, but I just went through Turtles in Time recently because I have the Cowabunga collection. That game is 30 minutes.
Huh.
The reason why it's so long, though, is it's an arcade game, and it's meant to kill you a bunch of times, and you keep pumping in coins... Right,
yeah.
And then most of the time you're starting over because you didn't get to finish with the arcade last time.
Yeah.
So it really varies, but yeah, a couple hours. Unless it's an RPG, and then like a Final Fantasy game, even back then was 40 hours.
Okay.
Interesting. That's why they were so valuable.
Sure.
So let's jump into so that was my Nintendo. Although I think I spent the most time in Pokemon Diamond, the Brilliant Diamond.
Yeah.
I think that's what I spent the most time in last year on Nintendo Switch. So my true achievements, just the true achievements card, my top game of 2022, according to True Achievements, and I have to agree, was Persona 5 Royal. At that time, I'd spent 103 hours and completed 65% of the game. I have since finished the game and spent over 120 hours in that game, almost 130, I think. Last year, I unlocked 447 achievements. I played 37 games, logged a whopping 483 hours, which is kind of crazy. That meant Persona 5 was almost a quarter of my time out of 37 games. And my total gamer score went up by 8,938, which is pretty good for somebody who's not an achievement hunter.
I guess I didn't give you those numbers.
In my opinion. So when I look at my total, so my true achievement score is 15,592, which I like better. We should use true achievement numbers. That sounds makes me sound so much better. So it also breaks it down by month, but it's a true achievement score, and I'm not quite sure how that's picked, figured out. But of the months, April and June, I had significantly higher true achievement scores. So whatever I was doing those months really helped me boost my true achievements. Some notable games that I played last year. I got 88% of the achievements in Tunic. I loved that game. I thought that game was fantastic. Sonic Frontiers was probably my surprise like of the year, because I remember when they announced it, I was like, oh, I like Sonic games, but I actually really love Sonic games, but I haven't really been into them, and they haven't made a good one I've really wanted to get in a while. Love that game. 80% of the achievements in that one. That game, I thought the game was fantastic. You guys are welcome to borrow it. I have that game on disc sometime. Shredder's Revenge was amazing. I didn't realize that was a thing, and then it suddenly came out, and I was like, oh my god, this is fantastic. Guardians of the Galaxy was another one. If it wasn't on Game Pass, I wouldn't have played it. But it was, and it was undersold. Like, it was so really good, and it's disappointing that it didn't do so well. Probably one of my favorite games of the year. I spent a lot of time in Slay the Spire. Let's see. One of my favorite games of the year was probably, did I play it? Yeah. So Yakuza Like a Dragon. I played that over several years because it was one of the first games on Game Pass that I started playing, and I played both that and Dragon Quest 11 over a several year span. Fantastic games, both of them. And then I have quite a bit of time in Stranger of Paradise, the Final Fantasy Origin game, and I thought that was just a fun, good time. But I spent a lot of time in the different Yakuza games. Something that I want to go back to is Chained Echoes, which, is, Josh, you might like. It's a 16-bit era-inspired RPG on Game Pass that's getting a lot of hype. And then I need to spend some more time in Elden Ring. I got away from it and lost the muscle memory and have not gone back to it. So,
yeah.
But all in all, I thought that was a...
I do, too.
Fun year. There was a lot of good games. Looking back, there's a lot of really good games last year that I played. Obviously, I'm not saying all these games came out last year, but a lot of good ones that I played. Kind of fell off Ni No Kuni. Wrath of the White Witch. I thought that game was really cool. The story was interesting, and the graphics were really... The art was beautiful. But I kind of just didn't care for the combat.
Ni No Kuni?
Yeah. I've heard Ni No Kuni 2 is really good, and that's on Game Pass now, so I may go check that one out. Shift to our Game of the Year reveals. Are you guys ready for this?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Josh has some idea of what the games are. I don't think I've told Jared at all what any of the games are in the order. So what this is are, so we played at least 12 games last year because we played a different game each month. In some months we played multiple games. And then we talked about those on the show. So we took all the games and we voted on them between the three of us in rank order. And then they were placed in order based on how we voted on them. Some of the games had we had to make some decisions on. Like, one game might have gotten two of us to vote it for one, and then another person voted it six. So we had to decide what that meant. Some games were ranked, their rank order put them equal. And so we had to make decisions on how that happened. So there were some choice points in there that we had to make. And Josh and I went through that and made those decisions about a month ago to decide how we were going to do that. But we have the top 10 games out of all the games we played. I think there were 15 in the ranking. So the top 10 of the 15. All right. So the first reveal is number 10, Hitman 3. So Hitman 3 was the number 10 game in our ranking.
All the hits.
I honestly, I thought this was a really fun sandbox game. I don't know what you guys thought. Story wasn't my thing.
No, no. It was a fun jaunt in a murder playground for a little bit.
It was a murder playground. This is one of those games. It has some of that, like what I think we were talking about with the new Zelda, where there was just some really wacky things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool.
I think to really enjoy Hitman 3, you have to be very thoughtful and mindful about it. And it's just not a game to where that would keep me that engaged. Yeah. But it was very nice to look at. Very detailed. Probably one of the most detailed games I've played. So yeah, no, I recommend it. That's your thing.
Yeah. I've heard too that since we've played, they've gone back and put all of the Hitman, all the old Hitman are in that system now, so you can go back and play all of them.
So it's like a Hitman style. Hitman service now.
That's it's cool. A Hitman launcher.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, so number 9 is Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah.
Huh. This was a game I did not think I was going to be that into. But Jared's like, no, we got to play this. And I was like, all right, let's do it.
He's like, no.
It was a lot of fun. Josh, yeah. Did you like this game?
I don't believe I played it.
Oh, yeah, is this one of the ones you didn't play?
This was pre-Xbox for Josh, I think.
Okay. So Josh needs to jump on. You should go back and listen to the episode, Josh, and hear all the reasons why we said you should play it. And then go play it, because it's just kind of a fun, let's go, I got 20 minutes to kill, let's go drive around Mexico,
turn your brain off and drive some really good looking cars.
It's got good music in it too, like some of the radio stations are good. I know that there's some good tracks in there that I really enjoyed. And it looks beautiful, and these are the guys that are going to be doing the new Fable game too.
Was it turn 10?
Yeah. And I think the weather, they do weather better than anybody. Like, the first time I drove into a sandstorm was crazy in that game. It was something different.
Different.
Okay, so number 8 is Halo Infinite. So this was another game that I think...
Right. Or as I like to call Halo Infinite.
Infinite. This is a game that we spent all of our time in the single player campaign, and so yes, there were a lot of drawbacks and things coming out talking about the multiplayer and how it's been a letdown. Although I think it's coming back around again. Obviously, 343 Studios is in disarray right now. There's all kinds of things going on with that. So what's going to happen with Master Chief, nobody knows. But the Halo Infinite campaign was fun. I think we all enjoyed the campaign, had a good time. The gunplay was great. The graphics were fantastic. It was open world, which was unique. For most of it. And that was a drawback. The train track run to the end.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest problem with this game was it doesn't really wrap up a story.
Right. It just kind of boots you back into the world. And then right when you kind of feel like you're getting somewhere, it's just like, that's the game.
And that would have been okay if they would have followed through what they were doing, what they planned on. Like, this is Halo. This is Master Chief for the next 10 years. This is Infinite. And so there were going to be – we thought there'd be story DLC or something coming out of this, And dude, I would be paid
$20 to finish like a little 5-hour campaign to know what the heck we were getting into.
Me too. But the problem is they haven't even been working on any campaign DLC this whole time. And so I still stand by. I think it's a 9 out of 10. I think it's an excellent game. It's not perfect. It's got flaws, but it's fun. And I probably will go back. Actually, now that they got co-op campaign online, we should jump back in on that. I think that would be fun.
I did co-op.
But I think it's a good game. It's just they I don't know why they can't get out of their own way sometimes with Xbox. They just can't. They do something good and then they put their foot in it sometimes. But let's continue. I want to celebrate these games because all these games are great. So the next game, number 7, is Tunic. I know this one. I'm actually surprised it is as high as it is on our list. I know I loved this game. I thought this game was great. It was my Dark Souls, and it was my Zelda like of the year. I thought it was so much fun. Josh, I was kind of surprised you didn't have more fun with it, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't bad by any means. It's just I was kind of more interested in playing other stuff at the time, so it's probably one of these games that I just need to go back to.
It didn't catch your attention as hard as it didn't get its teeth into you.
No.
I think that's interesting to
But know. I probably should go back to it.
You should give it another shot and see what you think about it. Jared, I knew it could go either way for you.
I just didn't appreciate the novelty of it, but I thought it was a very adorable game. Had a lot of character to it. It's just the language and the little puzzle aspect of it and the deciphering, and it just wasn't my thing.
See, that was my favorite part of it, is it felt like a classic game, like that brought back that sense of discovery that we didn't have.
If I had a paper guide, like an actual physical one, I probably would have enjoyed it more. I didn't like having to go into menus and do all that. I used to play games like that. You had to have the guide in order to progress, or the booklet that came with it.
All right, so number 6. One we've already talked about today. We loved it so much. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. That game was a surprise fun time.
Yeah,
that game was a blast.
It really was.
I think the social aspect of it helped too.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, the nostalgia kind of it.
And it was simple. Like, each level was in and out for the most part. Didn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
Just a fun, nostalgic little old school arcade beat 'em up.
It was well put together. Honestly, going back, I've since gone back and played some of the classics on Cowabunga Collection. Mm-hmm. It brings the nostalgia and feels so good that it brings like it almost replaces some of these classic games. Like, I don't have as much of a need to go back and play Turtles in Time now because I got Shredder's Revenge.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't fully replace them because they're different games, but it just, they did such a good job on it. It's quite incredible.
Right.
Incredible.
All right, so we're about to bust into our top 5 games of the year.
Bust.
So, number 5. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hell yeah.
That, you know, I kind of talked about in my year review of how surprised I was by how good that game was and how disappointed I was that it didn't do better. Jared, I think you were really the one champion this game. How do you feel about it?
I feel like this game paid for Marvel's Avengers mistakes and it didn't deserve it.
Yeah,
because Marvel's Avengers was like, it looked fine. But it was just, they were trying to do games as a service, like everyone was trying to do, and just let a lot of people down. And then they went and Eidos made this one, and everybody was just expecting another Marvel's Avengers. But I feel like it was such a great original story. It was a beautiful looking game. I felt like the character banter was fine. It annoyed some people, but I thought it was great. I thought it felt natural. I don't recall anything repeating too much.
I really love the battle mechanic when everybody's getting their butts kicked and you rally everybody around you and give some stupid speech. But it's not just a matter of pushing the button. Like, you have to, you know, meet their level of enthusiasm or lack thereof. So yeah. I loved it. I thought it was a great game and serious enough, but funny too.
And it's not super long. Like, that's some things. Yeah. Some of those games tend to overstay their welcome too much, and it does a decent job of staying.
Jake Baldino at Game Ranks, he says it's a video ass game video game.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Number four, Cyberpunk 2077.
Surprise, this is that high. I didn't think you guys would have put it up here.
Well, that's the thing.
Thing. We didn't. No,
we
kidding.
Didn't put it up there, Jared. It was all you. No, I'm just kidding.
I just killed honestly, the weight on it.
It's a great game. It has its flaws, and I think it had a terrible, terrible story release. Terrible release around the story, I guess. Sorry. Terrible story around the release. And that, I think, really hurt it. But it's actually a really good game. The story's fantastic. The world is beautiful. Personally, the only thing I didn't like about this game was I didn't much care for the combat in the game.
Yeah.
I thought it was
the combat in the game.
Yeah, I just didn't get into the combat. Other than that, though, I thought the game was fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
Josh, what was your thoughts on Cyberpunk?
yeah, I mean, it's a world that hopefully will warrant, you know, even more exploration in the future.
They have the DLC coming out.
Yeah. And, you know, even potentially beyond that, you know, if they continue to build this world with future entries.
Right.
They've got the show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That show was great.
I think there's a lot to be. There's a lot you can squeeze out of it from a content perspective. And then, you know, the actual game itself, it plays very, very well when, you know, after they've took the time to rectify most of the, you know, launch issues. Mm-hmm. And it's an engaging game.
I think something with this game that a lot of people don't realize is how much content they pulled from the actual tabletop manuals.
Yeah.
Like, when you keep going back in time and going into Arasaka Tower, that came straight from the tabletop game. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more intertwined with all that stuff if you know the lore. So
yeah,
there is a ton that they can get into this, but they also need to make some of those lore notes from the old games a little bit more accessible for people that aren't going to go play the tabletop Cyberpunk game or nerd out on YouTube like me.
Well, and I think the entire industry has learned a major lesson from CD Projekt Red.
I think CD Projekt Red release kind of ended the era of, we're just going to get it out there on a date for our shareholders. Everyone now is, we're going to start hyping this, you know, almost two decades before it actually comes out, kind of a thing. I think people are going to be keeping their cards closer to the chest now, and they're going to be announcing their games closer to a more finished state at this point.
Yeah. So, I would personally prefer that, because I hate hearing about a game 7 years before it comes out and then just having to deal with all the,
I don't even mind a day one patch, because that's going to happen. But Cyberpunk, and, you know, I was lucky with the newer system and I didn't really run into too many things. But some people had just a god awful experience, and that's inexcusable even for something that I enjoyed.
It's pretty incredible that it could both be the best game of its year and the worst game of its year.
Right, exactly.
Depending on your experience with it, right?
Exactly.
All right, so number three. We're getting in the top three here. These are the big ones. Number three was Witcher 2.
Oh, yeah. This game was so good. I love it.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I love this game, and I have gone through and beaten it every which way possible. I've done every side quest. This is one of my favorite games from its era. It did feel a little dated, though, when I played it this time.
Of course, because, Wild Hunt is such a beautifully polished game. And it's such a revolutionary game of its kind. There's so much content in there, and there's so much attention to detail in it that, yeah, going back and playing 2 is definitely going to feel dated. But it was revolutionary when it came out.
Oh, yeah, and it's still a great game. And the story is still fantastic. Like, this is one of the more mature video game stories out there. You don't get this kind of story from a lot of video games. And I feel like The Witcher kind of pioneered that.
Mm-hmm. And it made it okay to put these kinds of RPGs on consoles, because this used to be just a straight-up PC game. And it took a while for The Witcher 2 to come out on consoles. Like, it was out on PC for, I think, like almost 2 years before it came out on the Xbox.
But this is CD Projekt Red doing what it does, and I'm excited to see the remakes they're making of The Witcher. And I think they're redoing Witcher 2 is in the plans, too, in the upgraded
model. They might as well, man. I mean, they already have all the content in there, and they just have to make it pretty.
Uh-huh. I think
everything in Unreal is going to be super easy for them.
I think the quality of life enhancements will make this game shine again. I think that this is a fantastic game already, but it's just a little hard to go back to in modern era. It's not impossible. It's still a lot of fun. I remember when I was fresh off of it, I probably really enjoyed it, but I do remember I didn't finish it again because I'm like, you know what? I've had enough. It was fun.
I feel like the menus, and it's because it's modeled at, or it is a PC game, it's a port from PC. I think like the menus in The Witcher 2 were a little confusing to recall.
The map was atrocious.
Dude, okay, here's something. CD Projekt Red is god awful at wayfinding on maps. It doesn't matter if it's Cyberpunk, The Witcher series, their pathfinding and their little dots to get you where you need to go suck. So that's my only criticism of the scene.
Yeah. I think if I recall correctly, I referred to the map in Witcher 2 as like a restaurant children's menu.
it really is kind of
like the art. It looks like that kind of like arty. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I forget the name of the town, the castle in the second part that you're at.
Lochmoene.
When you're like under siege.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is just so
hard. No, that's not Lochmoene. You're talking about the dwarf place.
Yeah. It's so hard to navigate because, like, does this go under here? Do I have to go through the house to get over there? What the heck is going on here? It just was so
when you have to go into those mines too in that same town, the mines are impossible to navigate too, and it's dark.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it's still a fantastic game. Obviously, we put it at 3. All right, number 2. Getting down to our top 2 games. Number 2 is...
Number 2.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
I think y'all were a little good more game. High on this game than I was. This game was a roller coaster for me. It started fantastic. I got a little bit still early on. I was like, okay, I'm a little... This is just okay. It wasn't quite what I was thinking, but it finishes so strong.
Yeah.
I had a great time with this game. The world is beautiful. Even going back to it, it still plays and looks fantastic.
I think she's such a likable protagonist.
She's
a very relatable protagonist. And outside of her fighting giant mech robots in the weird post-apocalypse.
Yeah, I do that on a daily basis.
What are you talking about, Jared?
But no, I feel like the progression in this game is great, and once you really, towards the end, get a feel for everything, and you're ripping pieces off of dinosaurs and picking up rocket launchers and shooting back, like, it's such a satisfying game.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, even back in PS4, it's still gorgeous.
And it only gets better in Forbidden West. I love Forbidden West
apocalypse stuff, and this is a really interesting look at the post-apocalypse.
Yeah. Like, just, you know, touching upon that, and maybe another reason why I would have rated this so highly is just the, like I had just mentioned, everything that, you know, works well in this game from a gameplay standpoint, I believe they've improved upon it in the sequel, so... And I have no reason to believe that they won't do the very same thing with the third one in this trilogy. So,
yeah, it was a great game. All right. Number one. Drum roll. Maybe I'll cue one in there. Number one was Final Fantasy VII Remake. And I know this is a bit controversial because I think it was driven completely by Josh and I's votes.
Oh, 100%.
But that game is so awesome. I mean, that game. Yeah. I love all the other games on the list. This is the best game on this list, like bar none, in my opinion.
I want to go back and play it right now.
I do too. I just finished Final Fantasy Crisis Core Reunion, and it leads basically right into 7, and I want to go and play 7 Remake now because it was so good. I'm so excited for Rebirth when it comes out.
Yeah.
Well, such a great game.
I mean, you know, kind of transparency here. We've talked about, you know, at least, and probably it'll be more pertinent for our other show, Let's Mosey, but we've talked about trying to get in on the beta for
Ever Crisis.
Ever Crisis, which is a, you know, updated collection of the essentially not the entire Final Fantasy VII universe, but great deal of it. And I imagine I'm going to try to wait to play it in tandem with that. You know, if it does release, or at the very least, you know, kind of just seeing how much of a beta there is to play and really what it can provide in context to the overall plot and or change in plot for Final Fantasy VII.
Well, I know that this, if I was going to force Jared to play a Final Fantasy game, this would probably be the one I'd force him to play, but he didn't have the PlayStation.
I don't have the hardware.
You don't have the heart?
Yeah, he doesn't have the heartware. I still tear up when I hear certain songs from that game.
Yeah.
I think about what,
so sensitive,
what happened.
I just think of like certain parts in the game and I was like, I want to go play that right now.
I know, right? Right?
Oh, like the, to Mako Reactor 1, like that whole sequence. Like, I want to go play through that again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I might go play it right now. No, I've got other things to play. I still got to finish Dead Space, which I am wrapping up talking about awesome games. That game is fantastic. We're playing through Hogwarts for our next Hogwarts Legacy for our next month's game. And I kind of want to go jump back into that right now because that game was great. We actually are eating very well as video gamers right now. There's just some fantastic games.
I still need to go back in and, you know, wrap up the 100% on that.
Yeah.
It'd only take me like 5 to, but you know, I'm only like 5 to, you know, 5 to 8 hours, I would say, away from doing that. So I might as well. It's been what, 2 months since it came out, basically.
Yeah. All right, folks. That's been our show. We really appreciate everybody hanging out and listening to us. We can see those numbers going up every month. Go ahead and, if you like us, just tell your friends. Give us a review on Spotify and iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Those do something. You know, I imagine they help with the algorithm.
I'm not sure what they do, but
I don't know what they do, but they do something. Something in the ether. If you hate us, well, go tell an enemy. Punish people. Make them listen to us.
And give us feedback why you don't like us sometimes.
Oh, yeah, we're totally into that. Hit us up on Twitter at @pod_win, or you can email us at play2winpod@gmail.com. And this has been our show. We'll see you next time.
Toodles.
Bye.